Go with us tonight to the book of Matthew, chapter number 5. Praise the Lord. Everybody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to start reading at verse number 13. Hallelujah. Do what? I preached from these scriptures this morning. Well, praise the Lord. Somebody must have been listening. Hallelujah. I thought I could pull one over on you tonight. No, I knew I couldn't. Amen. That was part one. This is part two. Matthew 5 and 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. I'm preaching tonight on the danger of becoming irrelevant. Praise the Lord. Part two. While you remain standing tonight, let's ask the Lord to help us in this service. Let's ask the Lord to talk to us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. I honor you, Jesus. My faith, my hope, my trust, my confidence is in you, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Need your touch tonight in this house, oh God. We need the help of your Spirit tonight, oh God. Let it be so, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Everybody shout amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. I was preaching this morning from these particular verses in the morning service, and I want to continue on tonight. My position tonight is the same as what it was this morning. I believe that we are living in a time of unprecedented opportunity. During the course of the preaching today, I had the lights turned out, and of course it was dark in the house, And we talked about how that the light did not struggle with the darkness. There was not a fight that went on. When the lights came on, the darkness fled. It began to leave. I believe tonight that it is the will of God that you and I turn the lights on. Amen. We don't have to struggle with this world. Just turn the lights on. Let the light of the Holy Ghost shine in our life. Let us be an example to a world that is lost. You going to help me here tonight in this service? Amen. I'm going on to something totally different, a new thought. But let me just, for the sake of those that were not here this morning, we were focusing in on the statement that Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. What Jesus was saying is, I am ordaining that you go forth, and by extension, the church of Jesus Christ go forth and be the salt of the earth. He ordained that we would have an effect upon those that we come in contact with, that we would influence our world and not have our world influencing us. Amen. That we would not be intimidated by this world because we are not impressed by this world. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. I said, I'm not impressed by this world. I'm not impressed by their talents, their abilities. I'm not impressed by the things that they do. Amen. It doesn't attract my attention. I want my attention to be attracted to the Lord Jesus Christ. And by virtue of being attracted to him and being affected by him, I want to affect someone else in the world in which I live. We need for the church to be the salt of the earth. We need the church to be relevant in its time. We don't need to be in a position of irrelevance. Amen. We don't want to be in a place where we have lost our ability to affect the world in which we live. Can I say again tonight that we need the power of the Holy Ghost in our midst? We need the glory of God resting upon us. We need the spirit of revival in the house. The spirit of restoration. The spirit of reconciliation. The spirit of renewal. So that when people walk through those doors back there that don't have the Holy Ghost, they feel something and they say, there's something different about this house. There's something different about this church. I feel something here that I don't feel anywhere else. Hey, you know what? I feel something in the pulpit I didn't even feel this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. When they walk by somebody, amen, from this church in this city, and they look at them and say, what is that that I felt when I passed by that individual? Just the very presence of the individual full of the Holy Ghost. What was that that I felt? I'm going to tell you, friend, we live in a dark world. We have a great opportunity to shine the light. We have a great chance tonight to affect our world. When you go on your job, things are going to light up. When you go to school, young person, everywhere around you are going to light up, because the light of the Holy Ghost is in your life, and you are illuminating the world that's around you. Let's clap our hands, everybody. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I believe that's God's will. And I don't have time to go back and preach again what I preached this morning. But I'm in that same vein. Amen. That we cannot afford to become irrelevant. When we lose our purpose for existence. When we lose the realization of who we are and what we are. We lose our relevance. We lose our ability to influence our world. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. We have been called out of the world. We have been called out of the world. We have been called out of the world. We have been separated. We have been set apart. We are not the world. We are the church. I said we are the church. We've been washed in his blood. We've been sanctified by his spirit. We have been filled with the Holy Ghost. We're not the world. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. And Jesus went on to say something that I want to use as my premise tonight for continuing this message, the danger of becoming irrelevant. He said this, he said, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Praise the Lord. He referred to the church. He made a statement about the church. And that statement can be summed up in those few words. You are a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. It is the will of God that we not only come out of the world, but that we reside in a place that is above the world. Oh, no, I don't think we ought to go around with a holier-than-thou attitude and judging everybody and everything we come in contact with. But there ought to be something about our lives that causes folks to look up to where we are, to look up to our experience, to look up to our relationship, to look up to who we are in God, and there be something
something inside of them that says, I'd like to reach that place. I'd like to attain that experience. I'd like to attain that relationship with God.
But sit and sit on the hill. Amen. That cannot be hid. Now the Bible, I want to talk about that city some tonight. In the word of the Lord, the city or the church is represented in Jerusalem of old. Amen. You understand that, don't you? That the church of Jesus Christ is represented in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the Old Testament representation of the New Testament church. And there's a lot of things about Jerusalem that the Lord would have the church to understand about the church. If we can see Jerusalem and understand what Jerusalem is and what it was to God in that time, then we can understand more of what the church is to God in this hour. And so that city of Zion, Jerusalem of old, speaks to us as the church out of the Old Testament. Hebrews chapter 12 even says it on this wise. Verse 22. He talked about what we are not coming to. A mountain that's blackened and that's been touched with fire and smoke and all of that other. He said, but you are come unto Mount Zion. The city, oh glory to God, of the living God. You and I tonight belong to a city. The Bible said that when Abraham went looking, he went looking for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He went looking for the church, but could not find it. Come on now. Hallelujah. I said he went looking for something that he could not find because it was in the distant future. It was in the mind of God. A city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Can I tell you who's building the church tonight? It's God that's building this church. It's God that's doing the work in the hearts and the lives of human beings. This is the city. This is the city of the living God. We live in Ocala tonight, but this is the city. Amen. When you left your homes tonight and you came together, the saints of God, you didn't come to a mountain. You came to the city of the living God. This is the city of Jesus Christ. This is the city of Jesus himself. This is, according to Hebrews 12 and 22, this is the heavenly Jerusalem. We have come to an innumerable company of angels. To the general assembly and what? Church of the firstborn, which are written. Now, I want to tell you something. When he's talking all these things, he's not telling us a lot of different places we've come to. He's describing in many terms the same place. Amen. Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, the general assembly, church of the firstborn. This is all the same place. It's the church of Jesus Christ. We have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. We have come to the church. Amen. I said, we have come to the church. When you became a part of the church, you became a part of the city of the living God. Amen. I said, this is the city of the living God. This is where God is the governor. This is where God is the Lord. This is where God is the ruler. This is the one that owns this church. He owns this city. He's built this city on his blood. And the foundation of this city is the name of Jesus Christ. You come to the city. You've not come to just another church. Come on, you need to get on board with this tonight. We haven't come to just another church, another congregation, just another group of people that's meeting in worship in Ocala tonight. No, you've come to the city of the living God. When you walk, my God, hallelujah. When you became a part of the church, you became a part of the city that's got some residents in the city. Let me tell you who resides in this city. It's blood-washed people. It's people that have been baptized in Jesus' name. It's people that have been filled. As a matter of fact, the only way you can become a part of this city is to be born in this city. I feel the Holy Ghost in the house. Glory to God. Somebody shout, praise the Lord. He said, this is what you have come to. You have come to the city of the living God. You have come to the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to Mount Zion. Amen. So what is he telling us here? He is telling us that the Old Testament Jerusalem is representative of the New Testament church. Amen. It was a type and a shadow of the New Testament church. And what it was back then, it's what God wants the church to be in 2006. What God ordained for Jerusalem to be back then, it's what God desires the church to be today. And there's some things that I don't want to talk about that city that God is looking for from us in this hour. One thing you notice that he said about Jerusalem is in Psalms 48 and 1. He said, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. God is great in the city, and he's greatly to be praised. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. God is great in the city, and God is greatly to be praised in the city. That means something to us. Amen. That the will of God, it was ordained that Jerusalem be a place of worship. It was ordained to be a place of praise. It was ordained to be a place where God was known in her. That God was great there, and that God was greatly to be praised. Amen. He went on to say in the mountain of his holiness. He said, beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. I hope that gets a hold of us tonight. I belong to a city. I'm a resident. I'm a citizen. I'm a stranger and a pilgrim in this world, but I'm a fellow citizen with the household of God. I belong in the city of Jesus Christ. I live on Mount Zion. Amen. I'm the city. I'm part of that city set on a hill that cannot be hid. He said, God is known in her palaces as a place of refuge. Oh, hallelujah. In other words, when people pass by Jerusalem, they look at Jerusalem and said, God is in her. God is in her. God is in that city.
Come on. Come on.
I wish there was some way we could elevate this tonight. I wish there was some way we could elevate this. Amen. I wish there was some way we could raise the level of excitement tonight about what we're a part of and who we are and what we're enjoying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, standing in this pulpit as your pastor, I am greatly concerned right now at the lack of response. Amen. To who you are and where you are and what you are in God. I'm just going to be totally honest with you tonight. I don't feel like there's a level of excitement. There's a level of enthusiasm.
enthusiasm. There's a level of appreciation that ought to be in this house over what God has done for you in your life. He redeemed you out of the world of sin. He broke the laws of sin and death in your life. He brought you into His city. He birthed you into His kingdom. Come on, church, I'm worried about us tonight. I said, I'm worried about us in this house. It's not the will of God that what I preach in this place just be a dead, dull, boring sermon. But there ought to be something in your heart that says, I'm glad. I'm glad. I'm so happy. I've been born of water and spirit.
Beautiful for situation. Beautiful for situation. Now, when he said beautiful for situation there, he is not really truthfully saying that Jerusalem is beautiful for every situation, although she is. And that could be applied. That could be used where the church is concerned. The church can help every situation. The church is beautiful for every circumstance. If it's a broken home, the church is beautiful for that. If it's a broken life, the church is beautiful for that. Amen. If it's a destroyed dreams and a future, the church is beautiful for that. If you're sin sick and you're tired of the world, the church is beautiful for you. It's a wonderful place to be. It's a glorious place to come to. The church is beautiful for every situation. But that is not what the psalmist was saying when he said, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. Amen. The city of the great king. When he said beautiful for situation, he said, you know, this city is situated in a beautiful place. Amen. It resides on top of Mount Zion. It's in a high place. It's a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. He was telling those disciples, boys, look at Jerusalem. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. I want the church to be like Jerusalem. I want it to be in a high place. I want it to be in a heavenly place. I want it lifted up above the shadows of the world and live in the sunlight of my glory. Beautiful for situation. I was doing some reading about Jerusalem, and I come across something that I found quite interesting. Amen. It said it's peculiar situation. It's beautiful. That's what the word even beautiful there means. It was in a peculiar place. It was located, the city of Jerusalem was located in the heart of the country, remote from the great roads of communication with the east, on a mountainous tableland and entrenched on a cluster of hills. There's actually seven hills that Jerusalem is built upon in Judea. He said, the highest of which was crowned with the stronghold, a rock fortress or Acropolis of Zion. Jerusalem is on the borderline between Benjamin and Judah. Not until I read this, Elder, did I realize that whenever the kingdom was divided, that there is one not named. You have the tribe of Judah and you have the other 10 tribes that left one. It was Benjamin. And the reason is because Jerusalem was situated on the border between the two tribes. I didn't think about it. I didn't realize that until I was doing some studying and some research on this. I won't get into all of that. It may not mean much to you now, but it just kind of come across my mind. There was a reason why Judah, Benjamin was not included in the other 10. And that became Israel. And then the land of Judah. Israel and Judah became actually two nations. The country, the nation was divided under the kings whenever they walked out on God. God stayed with Judah and Israel went the other way with the 10 tribes. But however, the city of Jerusalem remained in that part that was called of God. In the land of Judah, the land of praise, the land of worship, the land of adoration, the land of thanksgiving. Come on now. Hey, amen. Jerusalem, that's where Jerusalem remained, was in the land of praise. Hey, amen. And so it belonged equally, that said, to the parts of both of that now United Kingdom. But anyway, its selection was a striking proof of David's military ability and political insight, and was probably determined, and this is what I am convinced of, it was determined even by a higher wisdom, the wisdom of God. Because you see, God did not intend for Jerusalem. He never intended Jerusalem to be a staple of trade, but a royal exchange in relationship with God. God wanted Israel to correspond with Him, to have a relationship with Him. He wanted Jerusalem to be the place that was known, God is in her palaces. God is inside the city. God is a part of what's going on there. God's involved in what's happening in Jerusalem. The point I'm making all of this is that Jerusalem was not situated on the trade routes of the east. God did not choose a city to put His name there that was at the crossroads of civilization. But God chose to put His name in a city that was sitting on a hill, that was inside the country, that was in the middle, in the central part of the country, that it would be a place that when men went to Jerusalem, there was a purpose why they went. There was a reason why they went. They would be going to Jerusalem because that's where God was. Oh, God, help me. Hallelujah. Boy, I feel something in the Holy Ghost. Somebody's getting a hold of this tonight. Amen. They would look and they would say, Jerusalem is a place where the Lord is at. That's why the Bible said that whenever the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, his God, she came from a far country. She traveled to Jerusalem where Solomon was. And the thing that caused her to lose her breath and to faint was not anything less than his ascent to worship. His praise to God, His worship to His God, it so affected her above everything else. God said, in choosing Jerusalem to be the place where I put my name, I'm not choosing a city that can be affected by everything that comes down the road. Oh, glory to God. I am choosing a city that cannot be influenced by every kind of traveler that comes through.
Come on.
Woo, hallelujah. Amen. I'm choosing a city that is built on a mountain. It's in the middle of a country. There's no major trade routes. There's no major connections to the outside world. It's a place when folks come here, they're coming to sacrifice. When they come here, they're coming to worship. When they come here, they're coming to get a relationship with God. When they come here, they're coming to get their sins forgiven. When they come here, they're coming to focus their attention on God and nothing else. God wanted to put His blessings on that city. And He didn't want His people to be wooed with, or much less wedded to, the outlandish fashions of that time. And I'm not just talking about in physical apparel and appearance. I'm talking about everything. God didn't want it, Jerusalem being affected. That's why whenever he told Israel, when they went in the land of Canaan, he said, I'm going to tell you now how I'm going to set this business up. He said, when you get in the land of Canaan, he said, I don't want you offering up your sacrifices under every place that you see that you think is a good place to offer up sacrifice. He said, when you come to the city, when you come to that country, Canaan, he said, unto the place where I put my name. That is where I want you to bring your sacrifice. That's where I want you to come to worship. I want a place that's focused on me. So, even Moses told Israel, Deuteronomy 12 and 5, he said, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall you seek, and thither shalt thou come. Amen. I'm telling you, God has ordained a place. He's ordained a place. He ordained the city. He ordained it to be the place where you worship. The place where you bring your sacrifices. He didn't want Israel offering up their sacrifices on every mountain and on every high hill and under every green tree like the pagans did. He says, as a matter of fact, when you come in that city, I want you to tear down every one of their altars. I want you to destroy every last one of their worship houses. I want you to eliminate from that country every kind of idolatry worship. I want you to cleanse the land. And then when you go to worship, I want you to go to the place where I put my name. And I'm going to tell you, church, that when you go looking at where Jerusalem is situated, Sister Bass and I were there. We were there in Jerusalem. And I can attest to this. It is not in a major place of crossroads. There are no major highways. There are no major thoroughfares. It is not the crossroads of civilization. It's a city set apart. Solomon in 2 Chronicles 6 and 4 said, blessed be the God of Israel, who has with his hands fulfilled that which he spake with his mouth to my father David, saying, since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among all the tribes of Israel to build an house in, that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be a ruler over my people Israel, but I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there. And I have chosen David to be over my people Israel. The Lord said, let me tell you what I chose. Let me tell you what I have purposed. He said, I chose the city of Jerusalem to put my name in that city. And the purpose of that city would be to bring glory and honor to God. Come on, church. I'm going to tell you why the battle is raging in the land of Palestine. I'm going to rephrase that. The land of Israel, because that's really what it is. It's really not Palestine, it's Israel. Tell you what's happening in the Middle East. Do you know why that the president of Iran says we're going to put Israel and Jerusalem into an eternal coma? Amen. They have made statements like our purpose and goal in our life and our world and our country is to wipe Jerusalem off the map, to wipe Israel, the Jews, off the map. Do you know why that is? Because there's a city there that still stands as an ensign. It stands as one that signifies that there is only one God. His name is Jesus. The Jehovah of the Old Testament was crucified in flesh on the hills of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. My God, hallelujah. And do you know why that we're fighting the battle of our life? Do you know why the enemy's doing everything he can to suck the spirit of revival out of this place? It's because we are the New Testament Church of Jesus Christ. God has ordained that we be the city of the living God. Amen.
tonight. Amen, amen. That's why the adversary is battling you. That's why you're fighting for your very soul's sake. That's why your faith is being tested. Come on now. Because if he can get us fighting one another. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. I said if he can get us fighting one another. If he can get us turning on one another. And talking about one another. And running others down. And speaking ill of one another. If he can get the city. If we've lost our purpose. And we become irrelevant. Oh, come on. Ocala needs a place. It needs a city. Amen. Sit on a hill. Cannot be hid. That's full of revival. That when people drive by, they say, God is in that place.
Thank you, God.
Come on, church. Praise the Lord. I didn't have this plan tonight, but can I go ahead and preach a few minutes? Somebody shout, praise the Lord. It's not in my notes, and I wasn't planning. I didn't think about it. This wasn't on my mind. But I'm going to tell you what I feel in the Holy Ghost right now. Hey, amen. The Sunday night before SCORE, we had a preacher preaching to us about why Egypt hates the shepherd. Hey, amen. And on Wednesday night, we had another preacher preaching about the need of having a resurrection. The power of the Holy Ghost working in our life. The wind of God's Spirit blowing in us. So the wind that comes through to blow the chaff away won't blow us away. Hey, amen. We can resist the wind. We can resist the wind that blows the chaff. Come on now. You better help me out here for a few minutes. Hallelujah. I'm going to identify something in this place. And then we as a church are going to rise up against this. And we're going to go ahead and see God do what he's promised that he's going to do in our midst. And if you haven't heard the tape, the CD or whatever, Brother Gross. And by the way, if you want the tapes of the CDs of SCORE, hey man, you can have it. We sold them at SCORE for $25 a package. Good for us to go back and listen to them over and over again. But we had a preacher preaching here on Thursday about the exacting labor of the gospel and the effort by the adversary and the spirits of our time to put an additional weight upon the ministry. So he drags down the ministry to a point that he lets his hands down like Moses did on Mount Horeb. Or whatever the mount was that he was up on, looking at the battle. And I'm not going to get into all the details. And then on Friday night, Brother Brad Lambeth. Thursday night, Brother Yarborough preaching on the battle is against our faith. The battle is against our faith. And then on Friday night, Brother Brad Lambeth preaching about the anointing of the anointed. Amen. Come on, church. God was identifying something. God doesn't send a message unless there are some things he's trying to deal with. And I am just telling you tonight that you and I need to realize that there's an effort by the adversary to create a division between this pulpit and these pews and to shut down revival. Amen. To keep us from working together. But I've got a word for the devil tonight. I've got a word for the powers of hell. You're not stopping us. We're not going to fall prey to your tricks. We're not going to surrender to your wiles. Throw your fiery darts. We'll put up the shield of faith and stand strong in God.
Hallelujah.
Come on, you really believe that? Does anybody really believe that tonight? I'm telling you, we need to face up to some things. The enemy's doing everything he can to destroy. But I'm going to tell you, God's given us a prophecy. And the prophecy was there's going to be some seeds planted and some fruit born. And good things are going to happen. And there may be some chaff that the wind drives away. I plan to be a seed. Plant me, Jesus. Plant me, Jesus. Change my form. Change my spirit. Change my attitude. Change who I am and what I am so I can produce some fruit of revival. I can produce some fruit of the glory of God. I feel something breaking in this house tonight. I said, I feel something breaking in the Holy Ghost right now. If everybody in this house will just come on and just go ahead and work with the Holy Ghost. Come on, let's work with the Holy Ghost. Let's work with the Holy Ghost. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, we can't afford to become irrelevant. Will be irrelevant when the pews and the pulpit are struggling with one another. And we will be irrelevant when the pews are fighting among themselves. Come on, oh, shut up, Abahaya. Devil, you're a liar. Devil, you're a liar. This is the city of the living God. I said, this is the city of the living God, devil. You don't belong here. You're not welcome here. We're going to make you uncomfortable in this place. You're not going to sit on these pews. You're not going to hang around this church. We got a word for you. The blood is against you. The blood is against you. The blood is against you tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, yeah, this is where God is. This is where God is. I feel him right now. This is where God is. He's in this house right now. This is where God is. He's in this place. Woo! Glory to God. Oh yeah, I feel something breaking in the Holy Ghost right now. God is known in her palaces as a place of refuge. Lord, you can be seated for a few more minutes. Cities are known by different names, or they are known by different terms. Around our world tonight, you have cities that they call the metropolitan city. Metropolitan city. This is a metropolitan city. And then, while I was, this has been stirring in my heart, stirring in my spirit for several weeks now, 2 or 3 weeks, I guess it's been. And in fact, during SCORE, something got a hold of me so much until I had to just take some time and do some more research to come up with something that I couldn't get away from. The word cosmopolitan kept coming to my mind. Cosmopolitan. I have heard of cities that have been referred to as a cosmopolitan city. And it just seemed like the Lord was saying, my church is not a cosmopolitan city. And I thought, what does that mean? And so I went doing some research and I found out the word comes from two Greek words. The first one is cosmos, which means the world. And polis means city, a city of the world. That's what the word cosmopolitan means. And it said that cosmopolitan describes something that's influenced by many cultures from around the world. When you
apply it to an individual, a cosmopolitan is someone who has adopted a taste for cultures beside the one that he or she was born into, thus living both a local and a global life as a, quote, citizen of the world. It is mostly agreed upon that identification with a world community is the core of the cosmopolitanism. When I read that, I thought of Psalms 87, 5 and 6. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. And the Lord shall count when he writes up the people that this man was born there. We were born into the city of the living God, a culture of righteousness, a culture of holiness, a culture of separation. Come on now, help me out here just a few more minutes. I'm almost finished. Amen. A culture where the Holy Ghost operates. A culture where that carnality is enmity against God. That the old, my God, hallelujah, that the only thing that really connects with God is the spiritual mind. Oh, glory to God. They that are born of the Spirit are spirit, and they that are born of the flesh are flesh. He said, when you're born in this friend, you're born of the Spirit. And when you're born of the Spirit, you're of the Spirit. You mind the things of the Spirit. You think about the things of the Spirit. You obey the things of the Spirit. You follow the things of the Spirit. I got to tell you, saint of God, the church is not a cosmopolitan city. He did not found the church. He did not build the church at the crossroads of civilization to be affected by every culture. Come on. The culture of sin, the culture of our world, the culture of worldliness. God has not birthed this church. He did not found. He said, upon this rock, upon this high place, upon the mountain, I expect and I plan for my church to be the city set on a hill that cannot be hid. He never ordained that the church be a stage where the fashions of this world are paraded upon. Somebody help me tonight. I have absolutely no problem whatsoever with dressing nice, people dressing nice and looking nice. Come on now. Nothing wrong with nice colors. Nothing wrong with looking good. I believe it's the will of God that we represent Jesus Christ in a manner that is pleasing to Him. And it also affects the world that we live in a positive and a holy manner. But this church is not cosmopolitan. We're not a church that's going to be affected by everything that comes down the pike. Woo, I feel something loosening up around here tonight. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. You know what? I have been disturbed when I have learned that there are churches that actually have libraries in their church where their people can come and exchange their video movies of Hollywood. I'm thinking, my God, what has the church become? Are we so cosmopolitan that we can traffic in the culture of Hollywood and the culture of Jesus Christ all at the same time? Forgive us, Jesus. Forgive us, Jesus. Amen.
Jesus. This is not a place where we come and we eat up one another. And we war with one another. Oh, praise the Lord. You're not going to stop on me now, are you? Amen. This is not a place. And it ought not to be a place where the only thing that you can ever converse about is somebody else. And talk about them and run them down. Taking this story from this one to that one. Amen. God help you if you use this sanctuary or these grounds as a place where you exchange negative stories about different ones and fomenting all kinds of wars and fightings and creating disturbances. Come on. Oh, that's the culture of our world. This is a place where that we ought to be saying, you're my brother, you're my sister, take me by the hand, and together we're going to work until he comes. I can't hear you. Come on, I can't hear you tonight. We've got to be a church that is focused on Jesus Christ. That's focused on the gospel. That's focused on revival.
We're not a city of the world. We're not cosmopolitan. Oh, come on, Pastor. We're young. We're teenagers. We like, we don't like that old fogey music. Why don't you give us a, go ahead and give us a, get us some rock bands up here. Excuse me. I want to tell you now, the culture of rock music has so infiltrated the Christian music scene, quote unquote, Christian music scene. Come cosmopolitan, affected by all the cultures of the world. I'm going to tell you something. This house is open for every culture in the world, every nationality, if you please. Huh? When you're born in this city, it doesn't matter what your culture was there, how you were raised out there in the world. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. When you're born in this city, you're born into a brand new culture where holiness is the order of the day, where righteousness is the order of the day, where revival ought to be burning in your heart, where the power of God ought to be working inside of your soul. This is the city of God. This is where Jesus Christ rules and reigns. And when we come walking in that door, we ought to come walking in saying, I'm here for a reason. I'm here to worship the Lord. I'm here to magnify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm part of the called out numbers to come together. I'm part of the church, the ecclesia, amen, that's called out to come together. And when I come, I'm not coming looking at what this one's wearing or what that one's wearing. I'm coming to give glory to God. I want the focus to be on the Holy Ghost around here. I want the focus to be on the power of God, the Word of God, righteousness. This thing's got a hold of me. It's burning in my spirit. The church is like Jerusalem of old. And when God chose Jerusalem, he chose a city. And if you went there, you were going there on purpose. You didn't just happen to pass through that city because you were on a merchant route between Rome and Corinth or someplace like that. Huh? You went to Jerusalem because you were interested in God.
All right.
I'm almost done. I know I've said that already. This is my second close. I'm almost done. Hallelujah. Amen. When you went to Jerusalem, you were saying, I'm interested in God. I'm interested in God. I got my mind made up. My foot's on the rock. I've got my mind. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to live for God. You know what? I've gotten reports of a couple of young people that during the conference, they told another young person, they said, my mind is made up. I'm tired of playing games. I'm tired of fooling around. I'm going to serve the Lord. Do you know what it done to this old pastor's heart right here? I got to thanking God. I said, God, I'm so glad to hear those kinds of reports. I believe that whenever you come to church, there ought to be a reason why you're in this church. When you come here, you're saying, I'm interested in God. I'm interested in living for God. I'm interested in walking in the Holy Ghost. I'm interested in living a life separated from the world. Is that why you're here? That's why I'm here. I'm here because I'm interested in God. I'm interested in the Holy Ghost working among us. I'm interested in seeing souls filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. I'm interested in the power of God just pulsating in this place. You know, there's a lot of things I could say tonight in relation to what I'm preaching. We are not a church at the crossroads of the trade routes of the world. That's bringing everything through the church that they want to bring and depositing among us and selling us a bill of goods that's going to do nothing but destroy our relationship with God. I'm sorry. That's not what the church is. The church is not cosmopolitan. The church is a city set on a hill. It can't be hid. It's a church that his whole plan for that church is wrapped up in what he said Jerusalem was. God is known in her palaces as a place of refuge. Glory to God. Help me, Jesus. I want to finish the reading of Psalms chapter 48. I want you to hear their final words after he talked about beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, Mount Zion. God is known in her palaces. Lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw it. They marveled. They were troubled. They hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there. And pain as of a woman in travail. You break the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. We have thought of your loving kindness, O God, in the midst of your temple, according to thy name, O God. He said, so is your praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. He said, let Mount Zion rejoice, let the daughters of Jerusalem be glad because of thy judgments. And here's what he said. He encouraged them. He gave them instructions. He said, walk about Zion. Go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that you might tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever, and he will be our guide even unto death. Walk about Zion. I think it's time for somebody around here to walk around the church one more time. Come on now. And walk around and say, God, I'm so glad you let me be born in the church. God, I'm so glad you let me born in a place that your word says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. God, I'm glad you let me be born in a place where there's a revelation of the mighty God in Christ. Walk about Zion. Tell the towers thereof. Mark well her bulwarks. In other words, look and see what a great city she is. I believe that somebody here tonight needs to get another view of the church. Needs to get one more view of the church of Jesus Christ. And say, thank God for the church. Thank God I've been born in the city of the living God. Thank God it's not a place where every spirit of the world invades.
chews up and eats and spits out those that are down and out. But it's a place of encouragement and strength. Hallelujah. Oh. But when the church loses the realization of why we are here, the city of the living God, a place for people to be born again of water and spirit, then we lose our relevance to a world that's lost. God forbid. I say, God forbid. Let this be a city, oh God, whatever happens, let it be a city that's full of the Holy Ghost. Let it be a church baptized with the spirit of revival. I feel such a touch of God in this house. I want us to stand right now. Jesus, help us.